We're not the green van. It's not. Sue and I drive the white one. I lost all my favorite cars to drive that big white thing.
We still have Wilma, don't we?
No, Wilma's gone. Wilma's black Geo is gone.
We got rid of Wilma?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we should have had a memorial
service. I did, Gary. I did.
You did.
I forgot where we stopped. Probably it was in Ecclesiastes.
12-something, 4 or 5 or something.
We're getting down the short hairs, as it were.
We studied about this, the silver cord be broken and blah, blah. But we studied in verse 6. But
no, we didn't.
I don't think so. We're
not studying.
The silver cord was a spinal cord. Didn't we study that?
Mm-hmm. Tom says yes. Harry says
no.
The almond.
We studied. Where did we get to
that?
We did not do verse 6.
Okay. Then we got to go back to verse. We got to go backwards a minute. Back to verse 5. Because I found out something else.
Yeah,
I didn't find it.
Last time we met, we did the long home.
All right. I don't understand my own notes here. I think I got the wrong one.
Do it from memory.
Ha! I forgot something when we were studying verse 5 about the almond tree. That is really, really interesting. Go to Jeremiah 1. Do you all know what Jeremiah was most famous for?
Bullfrog.
Thank you, Wade. Thank you, Wade.
Everybody was thinking it.
Oh. What?
Jeremiah.
Oh. No, Jeremiah was... This was in about 630 B.C., 625 or something like that. And Israel was prospering. Everything was right, and, you know, the religious community was good. And Jeremiah came along and said, everything you're doing is wrong. And he predicted that the temple would be destroyed. And this was Solomon's temple. He predicted that Solomon's temple would be destroyed and everything would be lost. Because again, Solomon's temple is the thing that was lost at this point was, and this is why Jeremiah is so important, at the time of Solomon's temple, the Holy of Holies actually contained the Ark of the Covenant. It contained the mercy seat. It contained the cherubim overriding the mercy seat. It contained the rod that budded. It contained the two tablets of the law. It contained the pot of manna. And that's what was inside the Ark. And everything that was inside the Ark that was covered by the mercy seat spoke of rebellion and the punishment for rebellion. So the things that were inside the ark, they were the world and the Jews were protected by the mercy seat. Because it was, and the wings of the cherubim were covering it. And that's the symbolism of what it, that God was giving them time and time to repent. And so the last prophet during this period that was sent was Jeremiah, the primary prophet. And he predicted that everything they were doing, they were using the word of God for self-seeking. They were justifying themselves after the flesh by the word of God. They looked only at the Jewish lineage. All of the laws had been... Like the definition of a neighbor, during this time, and continued afterwards, obviously, was not somebody in need like the one that was fallen by the wayside and the Good Samaritan. It was it had to be someone that was of your lineage or your saying. So they could charge you. They charge usury to everybody else, but they didn't charge it to the Jews. And everything was done to make them think they were special. Anybody understand this, where I'm going? Can you predict where I'm coming here? And the thing that was protecting them from God's wrath was the mercy seat. And everything in the Ark of the Covenant was the mercy seat. I mean, everything in the Ark of the Covenant was to punish this rebellion. And so at the beginning of Jeremiah, well, let's just read it, because this is the call of, this is when it first happened. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet for the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am unlearned. I am a child. I am whatever. I mean, it fundamentally means I'm unlearned. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have set thee this day. I have set thee over. See, I can read. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms. Now, it wasn't just, he's not just speaking, when it says that, he's speaking to the world. I have set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, and to build and to plant. I could spend a week in that. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Now, then the Lord said unto me, Thou hast seen well, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Now the seething pot is the filth and scum that should have been brushed away in the leaves, or it's the assayer's pot that all of the dregs of the silver or the gold has come to the surface, and it's a seething, it's just boiling, seething. And it's all, you remember, toward the north, on the north. It's toward the evil, toward the...
So that was just the society at that point, the rebellion.
Right. I mean, and again, from anybody's view, it looked good.
Yeah.
This is what you have to understand. This is, from everybody's view, people were saying, Praise God, God has really blessed me. My family is the best it's been. I'm making money. I've got blah, 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 blah. And this is the definition. This is where this whole idea that I get so upset at people when they say God has blessed me because.
The totem works.
What?
Oh, it's the same thing as throwing a totem in when you plant corn. It's the totem works. That's why the corn grew.
So... Now, but again, now, this was at his call. He saw the almond. He said, the first thing God asked him, "What seest thou?" "I see a rod of an almond tree." That means he saw the rod, but have you ever seen an almond tree? It's the first tree that blossoms in the winter. But it blossoms at a weird time. It should win in the winter. I mean, it does something weird that I don't remember right now. But the rod is there, and he sees. But the point of the almond tree, back to the reason he saw this. Now let's go back to Ecclesiastes. He's seeing the almond tree shall flourish. In verse 5 of Ecclesiastes 12. And again, Rabbi Eliezer said this, about verse 12, about chapter 12, verse 5, about the almond tree. He says, as the almond tree takes 21 days from the time it blossoms to the time when the fruit is ripe, so the decree concerning the destruction of the temple by Jeremiah, i.e. between the straits, only lasted 21 days from the fast of Tammuz to the fast of Ab. So, him seeing the almond rod with no blossom on it yet, God was showing him what was about to happen. Remember, the Babylonians broke through the wall of Jerusalem on the fast of Tammuz, and 21 days later on the fast of Ab, it was destroyed. And this thing that from that time forward has been called between the straits is another one of these mysteries. It's like going from believing in him to living by the faith of him, and the same thing is true here. From the time of your baptism until your time that you live by the faith of him instead of in him, are the 3.5 months, you know, all these other types that were completed in Christ. So the first thing he saw at his call, in this time of prosperity and wealth and everybody was blessed, quote unquote, he saw the first thing, the almond tree, the almond rod, and then it refers, he saw herein the almond blossom. Now, that was just going backwards for a minute. Now let's go to,
that's probably why the almond was considered this thing that had to do with
Resurrection,
because this thing was happening in this weird, out of sync.
Yeah, I don't have to, we don't have time to go into all that, but there's tons written about that. Anybody have any thoughts or understanding about that? Okay.
Well, just that it blooms out of season, and it reminds me of the look under the fields, they're white under harvest.
Right.
Don't pay any attention. He who observes the clouds will sow. I mean, it's all the same over and over. The day of Messiah is always there. It doesn't matter whether you're young or old. It's just...
In verse 6, then, "Or ever the silver cord be loosed." We've talked about it before, but you may not remember it. When I summarized a lot of this stuff, we said the silver cord was be loosed, the spinal cord. And then upon the golden bowl be broken as a skull, and the pitcher be broken as a stomach, and all those days. We talked about all that. But I didn't talk about that the silver cord be loosed is, by a whole school of rabbis, means the genealogical line be snapped. Now, this is critical. Because if once the silver cord is snapped or loosed or broken, then genealogy never again has anything to do with it. That's why Jesus said there's neither male nor female, bond or free, Greek or Jew, young or old. There's all of those things went away. And until we can see this, we'll continue to have all these wars and we'll have all these opinions about what is right and what is wrong. Genealogically, there is no more righteousness because the silver cord is broken.
Is this at two points? One, either the revelation of Christ or the coming of Christ, both in time and out of time. The cord is broken when you see.
The cord was broken at from a genealogical standpoint. The cord was pristinely broken at the crucifixion of Christ. Now, again, and this one is controversial. So the same rabbi said, and the golden bowl be broken or made of none effect is the Torah. And the reason it's made of none effect is it can never again be used as an instrument of righteousness. It can only be used in an instrument of the revelation of Jesus Christ. So that's why Paul said the purpose of the law isn't to try to do it or act like you're doing it or doing part of it. The purpose of the law is to shut up your mouth. Christ didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill it. And once he fulfilled it, no one else could. Well, no one else did anyway. But can you see this beautiful kind of circular thing that's going on here about the same story being told in a jillion different ways? All right? Well, anyway, we talked about all that other stuff right there.
That is cool what you just said, because the same story is told over and over, and every time you hear it in a new way, for a moment you think, oh, here's something brand new, and then all of a sudden it's the exact same thing that's been told over and over again.
It's the same thing that God told Cain. Why is your countenance fallen? Know you not the sin offering lieth at the door. The story has never changed.
Yeah.
And that reason is that all of this shows the mercy of God waiting. But not sloppy agape. He's not blessing you because you're doing self-realization. Now, what happened to Jeremiah? I mean, you ought to read Jeremiah if you want to read a lot of why Jesus said, you shall be hated of all men, they shall kill you and think they're doing God holy service and all that. Because, and why it says things like, you are always a sweet savor of God, both in them, unto God, both in them that perish and in them that are saved. To the one a savor of life unto life, and to the other a savor of death unto death, and who is sufficient for these things. You can't be neutral. You can't be just there. No matter what you do, if you are truthful to this, to who you are, you will always be a sign and a wonder to everything around you. He's appointed you just like he did Jeremiah. Before you were formed in your mother's belly, he's appointed you to root out, to pull down, but then to build and to plant. But not by your own understanding. It's by we are now the living stones of the temple. Therefore I got to pile myself over here. No, it doesn't work that way. What's going on, Thomas?
I am concerned because I'm leaving, but I'm trying to hear.
Well, you could hear this every morning on the computer.
I know, I do, except it didn't show up for. It shows up in bunches about every month. I mean, that'll show up.
This thing about Gary said about you think it's something new and then you find out it's the same thing in a different way reminded me of when we had a young man in the school who was incredibly rebellious and troublesome and getting bigger and stronger, and we were just unable to do anything with him. And I remember one day we were out in the backyard, and he was going physically berserk. And he was surrounded. We had his parents, we had you, we had the teachers, we had I was his big brother, whatever it was. And he was physically surrounded by people who cared about him. And it was the only
time that that berserkness, that, that total craziness was contained and broken and stopped and he came to rest. And that that's what that reminds me of. That's what God does to us, is he just, every time another piece of this is shown, it's another stake being driven in. I've been beset before, behind, to the left, to the right. Another piece of flesh has turned to dust. There's just, you know, you just can't escape.
Back to John's song
again.
What
God's doing. Yeah.
A little water's turned to wine, a little flesh turned to dust. All right. That's the best thing you've ever written. Or the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel at the cistern. There's a whole school of thought that that talks, and we talked about it, about the pitcher is broken, the stomach is shaped like a pitcher, so it's broken. And this whole thing refers to the death. This, well, everything we're reading refers to the death of natural man. Remember, Rabbi Nehemiah said, 3 days after death, a man's stomach or the pitcher bursts and gives back its contents to the mouth, saying, take what you stole and robbed with violence and placed in me. In other words, we fed ourselves on the wrong food. We fed ourselves being led by our stomach instead of eating only the flesh of the Son. And the and Malachi says, I will, well, go there. Let's go to Malachi 1. Excuse me, Malachi 2. The last book of the Old Testament. That's before the Ten Commandments. That's a reference that nobody understands. But. Chapter 2. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed, and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts. Now, that's pretty heavy duty.
I can hear a lot of people say, that's not the God I serve.
And this, there's a legal, there's a whole lot of the, about this in the law, but what do you do if a corpse, the law says about getting, about a wife and a husband and the estate of a husband if he dies, and how does the wife, the body must be you have to identify the body within 3 days, because on the fourth day the face loses its shape and it looks like dung that's spread upon your face. And so the whole, like, there's a term of it. That's why the full intensity of mourning lasts up to the third day, because this, the, remember, you could only legally mourn for 4 days and then you had to do this. But the third day, the intensity of the mourning is full, because that's the last time the face is recognizable. This is before we had these nice little makeup things to make the face keep going when in what do you call it, embalming. And the evidence may be legally tendered only by someone who saw the corpse within 3 days. So if you saw the corpse, you couldn't, it wasn't legal to see a corpse if it was 4 days old. You had to see it within 3 days.
To identify it.
So this is why Christ arose on the third day, because it fulfilled a whole other range of that law, because he wouldn't have been legally, it wouldn't have been a legal inheritance or a legal thing or a legal identification if he had waited the fourth day. But with Lazarus, he waited the fourth day. And that's a whole other story.
Because he was beyond the ability to be resurrected, right? It was not...
It wasn't him that was resurrected.
Until the angel puts the drop on the lip,
right?
You're not really dead or something. I forget what it was you said.
Yeah. But anyway, all this stuff, and we're going to get to another big one here in a minute, but all this stuff they're all referring to points of the law that we don't understand, we don't know. And so we just think they're curious statements. But they're all incredibly legal points that have to do with, like the spinal cord is broken, or which is the genealogical table for the promise to the family is loosed, is gone. Or the recognizable face, because dust you are and dust you shall return. And he had to be resurrected on the third day, not on the fourth. Is any of this interesting, anybody?
Yeah, that thing you just said about the law, I mean, that adds so much substance to this that is normally you're always trying to make sense of a scripture out of context to what it's relating to.
Well, yeah, otherwise you come up with Ezekiel, the wheel within the wheel and all going, you think that's a helicopter or some damn thing. Who knows what you think?
Because these scriptures are one thing. Not 20 million little things you can pick out and make a religion out of.
I've got a weird question to ask. Why early on the laws, Deuteronomy and Leviticus and all that, were very clear to the point of what the laws were and what to do? It's very easy to read and understand. Why later on here in the prophets did things become much more symbolic and hidden meaning? And
you missed the point. The law is the same symbol. The law is the same. Every word of the law referred to a revelation of Christ. You can't do any of the law. You can just act like you're doing it.
I guess I'm not even worried about doing it. It's more understanding what it's saying.
Again, nobody cares whether you understand it or not. You've broken it. Let's go to Romans 3. This Romans 3 will now become the Trish chapter. Trisha chapter. Especially verse 20. But Romans 3 will start verse earlier than that, a few verses earlier. Verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. You can study the law, you can be the most brilliant person that ever lived, and you can study the law so that you understand it with massive understanding. And you can remember the kids used to had to memorize Proverbs before they were seven, and then they had to, before they could have the bar mitzvah, they had to have memorized Leviticus and argue both points of the law, both sides of any point of the law, and win. So you can understand it with perfect, you know, the kind of understanding like people like these rabbis in the ancient times had of Hillel and Gamaliel and Rabbi Nasi, or like Melito of Sardi and all these people that make us look like abject idiots. They make the brightest person that's alive today look like idiots. You can't do it. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Why? Because of the curse, you all seek for yourself. I mean, that's all I can do. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. And they're not saying cursing like saying goddamn. They're saying cursing meaning you're cursing another person. You're judging that other person down to hell. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way. The way of peace have they not known. And there's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. That's all that happened throughout the Old Testament. When men saw this, then they saw his day and were glad. The gospel has been preached to every creature which is under heaven from all time. It didn't start just with the once. But when we killed his only son, then it was over. So nobody really gives a damn whether you understand it or not. The only thing you have to understand is the emptiness and futility and the only thing you need is some measure of integrity, which means wholeness, integral, you know, so that there is no difference between what you live and what you are, what's going on inside. You're not, you don't ever have to try to be something. You don't have to. You just be. Now the silver cord has been broken. The genealogical righteousness is gone forever. It doesn't matter whether John Rutledge's mother spent 50 years studying the genealogical tables to prove that he was the direct descendant of one of the kings of England. That's meaningless. It doesn't even matter that my dad didn't know it, but that my mother was 1/16th or 1/32nd or something Swedish, that my dad would turn over in his grave. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white, Jew or Greek, young or old. It doesn't matter whether you're smart or dumb. It doesn't matter whether you have intelligence or you're an idiot savant or you're just dumb. It's all the same. It's the same measure. The only thing you can see is, my God, I am a joke. And stop this idiot. What? That's why we're reading Ecclesiastes. What? Gary, you're doing it again.
Well, it just occurs to me that this, the fact that we were formed before the foundation of the world.
That's because he was formed before the fish.
Yeah, and that seed is what was formed as opposed to.
Well, yeah. The other, your seed is a fetid. What is it? A fetid drop.
But you'd like to think it was a special fetid drop.
Yeah, it's especially idiotic.
Yeah.
But his seed is. I mean, that this. Do all of you know what the word tamura means and what that refers to? And we've studied it. It refers to. What makes something holy? Why it's holy? And we'll get to that hopefully the next time we meet. But it has to do with where it says the dust shall return to the dust and the spirit shall return to God. And but we got to see what that means. It's the laws of. How you get something impure. Again, in every one of these laws in the Old Testament refers specifically to an aspect of Jesus Christ. And what it means is by his one offering you've been perfected forever means that every possible situation that you and I could be in was covered by his one offering. So you have been perfected by that one offering forever. Not according to your understanding, because the way things look will never change, and in fact the way you think it looks, it should look, is the evidence that we're about to be.
That whole thing made me think of how we are all like Mary, and the virgin birth is him placing that seed in us. It didn't come from my daddy. It came from God himself. Otherwise, it's...
Yeah, but that which came from God, that's why we have to look at what's moral. You can make that which came from God impure. That's why you can't have the garment spotted by the flesh. There can't be any spot or wrinkle. So there's no mixing. Because only that which came from eternity can return to eternity. All right. Take a big guy. Yeah, 8:30. Anybody is welcome. We're going to...